seated. Our scripture reading this evening is from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 to 11. You can follow with me on your iPhones, iPads, or just read on the screen. You don't have to read it out loud, I'll read it for you. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. This is the word of God. Our sermon this evening is titled Having Intimacy with God, and we're journeying together with our church in the hour that changes everything. And I read the scripture, which I've been reading for the past 2 weeks, and I was amazed at how it just spoke to me, just as it spoke to the church of Corinthian in 44 BC. This church was a church that Paul wrote a couple of letters to, and this is an extract in one of the letters that Paul wrote. A church that is believed to have been one that had temple worship, a lot of immorality, and there were a lot of challenges in that society, not very much dissimilar to what we have today. Paul had to write a letter of encouragement to believers in that time that found themselves hard-pressed on every side, that found themselves persecuted, that found themselves in difficult situations and needed some encouragement. And in order for him to be able to adequately encourage them, he had to remind them whose they were. He had to remind them who they belonged to. And it's interesting that he chose pots of clay. Pots of clay. I leave that there for now. I'd like to start in the beginning. And I read from Isaiah 64 verse 8, which says, "We are the clay, and you are the potter, and we are all the work of your hands." We need to understand who our Maker is. We need to understand who God is, in order to understand who we are, in order to understand whose we are. So what greater place to start than right at the beginning? I have an image of a potter lovingly molding his clay. When I was doing a little bit of reading and research for the sermon this evening, I read a quote from a famous potter, and he said, "I believe a potter's soul is in each piece he makes." And if we are these pots of clay and God is our potter, is it not amazing to believe that a piece of God is in us? But in order to believe that, we need to know who he is. We need to understand who he is. So I took a little bit of liberty and I found a very inspirational video online by a poetry artist called David Bowden. And he has a whole lot of material, but this one struck the chord, for it talks about the great I am. It talks about God the Father. And what better place to start than in the beginning, in order for us to truly understand what it means to be these pots of clay created for a purpose. Can we please play the video?
Thank you. Before fluorescent formations ever fomented the foundations of your firmament, that is, before the stars in your sky ever entered existence, before the light knew what bright meant, before the sky had a clue where up went, before either were ever invented, I am. Before terrestrial perennials terraced your planet's territorial terrain, that is, before the plants in your ground were ever ordained, before roots were ever arranged, before fruit had a taste, before either had a name, I am. Before the ocean had a bowl, before the surf discovered its role, before the grave was made Sheol, before man had a soul, I am. Before Eden was installed, before the garden serpent crawled, before the tree, before the fall, I am. For I am truth, before there ever could be false. I am perfection, before there ever could be faults. I am by all, in all, through all, in all, and I am to be called, I am. Before the curse usurped the ground and drove you away from the divine, before you felt this separation between who you are and the intention of your design, before you tried to abide in sources of death in order to find life, before you combined yourself with any form of pleasure you could find, before you felt so alone, before you felt so dry, before you tried to run away from my side, I am the vine. Before the cherubim ever guarded the garden, before the flaming sword was ever sharpened, before that chasm between God and man was ever widened, before you lost all hope in becoming a citizen of heaven, before all you earned was endless flame, before all you deserved was righteous pain, before you were a sheep hoping not just to be some lion's prey, before you were a lost lamb longing for a pen, longing to escape your fate, I am the gate. Before sustenance turned to gluttony and food became an enemy, before attraction was based on anatomy and sex was removed from matrimony, before money became morality and greed grew into the only causality, before you were empty without me, before you tried to satisfy your appetite with anything, before you strive to feel alive by filling your strife with the fleeting vices of your fleshly devices, before your hunger for relief left pangs in your side, I am the bread of life. Before you became acquainted with pain and death, before you ever tasted loneliness, before disease destroyed what you possess, before eyes could go blind, before ears could go deaf, before you lost the one you love to the grave's unyielding cleft, I am. For before mankind stopped living so that they might just survive, I am the resurrection and the life. Before that sadness that grips your mind led you to darkness and thoughts of suicide, before that distortion of man hurt you so that you now hurt yourself, before you knew razors and wrists could create a new hell, before those wounds turned to scars and those scars became a way of life, I am the light. For before you even knew how to sin, I am where your salvation begins. For before you withdrew from the path of my way, before you willfully and joyously disobeyed, before you betrayed the gift that I gave of that breath in your lungs, that life in your airways, by saying no to my love and yes to your heresy, before you engaged with the enemy, waged in sin with intensity, before you deranged my supremacy, inflamed my jealousy, before you chose greed over my adequacy, lies over my accuracy, pride over my advocacy, before you chose your sinful self over me, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, for before you were a spotted lamb, I am. For I am the way before you could ever run away from my call, I am the truth before you could ever walk away from my law, I am the life before you could ever turn away from my cross at Golgotha's skull, so I beg you now to withdraw. Withdraw from your sin, for I am your only temptation. Withdraw from yourself, for I am making you a new creation. Withdraw from your pride, for I am ruining your reputation. Withdraw from your self-righteousness, for I am your only mediation. Withdraw from your hopes and dreams, for I am your only expectation. Withdraw from your life, for I am your crucifixion. For before all time, I am all sufficient. Before all titles and designations, to my name alone did the cosmos listen. For I am Jesus, I am the Word, I am Elohim, I am the Lord, I am the Christ, I am Messiah, I am Creator, I am Jehovah Jireh. I'm the Lamb of God, I am Emmanuel, I'm the begotten Son, I am the Holy One of Israel. I am the first fruits, I am the Prince of Peace, I am the Bridegroom, I am the King of Kings. I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Jacob, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. I'm the Holy One worthy of praise. So withdraw into my side, withdraw and be made mine, withdraw and with me stay, withdraw into my way.
Sure, I made it through that one without crying. Who is God? I think that video tells it so clearly. If that is our great I am, if that is God our Father, if that is our Potter, our Creator, and if we have a piece of Him in us, then who are we? Paul says jars of clay. When I read the scripture and I saw jars of clay, I was a little bit disappointed. I thought it would be crystal vases or stainless steel jars. But it's jars of clay. The scripture says this treasure in jars of clay to show that all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And only then did I understand why jars of clay. Sometimes it is the humble things that we despise, but the humble things are humble so that God's greatness and power can be revealed to us. About 2 weeks ago, when I was reading exactly the scripture and I was in a work context and there were so many challenges that I was going through in the work context, in a place where I thought that I knew what my title was and what I was supposed to do and my position and what I was entitled to, I came face to face with a lot of challenges. And when I read the scripture, I was so encouraged, and I misinterpreted it. I misinterpreted it because I read it as, I need to keep on fighting. I need to keep on fighting and just not let go because I deserve better and I know better. I did not understand that God was calling me to withdraw because He is God. A week later, I ran a 32-kilometer race, and it was so tough, and I've run a couple of them, and I've gotten used to running long distances, and due to health reasons, I struggled, and I had to be carried by an ambulance to the finish line. I was so upset. I cried because I felt like I'm strong and that shouldn't have happened to me. And once again, I read the scripture. And once again, I misunderstood that God was calling me to withdraw from myself, to withdraw from the things that I think are important, the strengths that I think I possess, because I am, because He is, and He is the great I am. It's not about my abilities. It is not about the titles. It is not about how smart you are or the strength that you have. And I only realized what a privilege it is to be a jar of clay if the great I am is my potter. To be a humble jar of clay, a simple jar of clay, if the great I am is the one who made me. Can you really take that in and believe that if we think of the world that we live in today and the expectations that are put on each and every single one of us, who the world says we are and who the world says we should be. We rely on what we're told by the world and not what God says and not who God says we are. And today's sermon is about calling us back to the heart of worship, calling us back to intimacy with God and understanding who He is and who we are. But the question is, so what? So God is a great I am and we are jars of clay. What does that mean? And I once again want to focus on the treasure that is inside those jars of clay. I'd like to read a scripture while we ponder on that. John 17, verse 21 to 23. That all of them may be one. Just as you are in me, Father, and I in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them glory, the same glory you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and that you have loved me and even you have loved them. The beautiful thing about the scripture is that it highlights the unity between the Father and Christ, but it also highlights the unity between us and God. On our own, we are just jars of clay, pressed on every side, fragile. We break easily, simple and humble in the way that we are made. But understanding who created us and understanding who is in us, we are more than powerful because we belong to an all-powerful God. And in order for us to be able to share the treasure that He has given us, we need to be in great intimacy with Him. When Paul wrote his letter to the church of Corinthians, he was trying to remind them whose they were and what they carried inside of them, in spite of the circumstances around them, in spite of the challenges that they were facing. But in order for them to remember that, they needed to be brought back, and I borrow from the song, to the heart of worship. And I remember a funny story, not so funny. I think, I know most of you, I don't know who watches TV. I watch very little TV. But there was an ad, and it was a Joko ad. I don't know if any of you have seen it. And it's a man at the airport, and he's supposed to get somewhere, and he's very, very frustrated. And he's trying to get on a plane. And the lady behind the counter is not interested in helping him. And he says, "Do you know who I am?" And she sips her cup of tea and then announces over the intercom, "Ladies and gentlemen, there's a man at the counter who does not know who he is." But I think that what God is saying to us is, do you know I am? Do you know I am? We walk through life pushed and prodded, stretched and challenged, only seeing our clay status, easily forgetting whose we are, easily forgetting that He is. In the two stories that I told you about the challenges that I faced, the biggest thing that I forgot was my purpose. I forgot why God had put me in specific situations. I missed out on opportunities to show this treasure that He had put in me. For a moment, I forgot whose I was. I got pulled and prodded in different directions, and I did not withdraw to God, but I withdrew to the world. I lost focus on what was important, and for a moment, I forgot that I am the work of the potter and that He has me in His hands. For a moment, I forgot that through deep intimacy with the one who created me, that all things are possible. And when, not if, when trials and tribulations come our way, that we will never be destroyed. That yes, we will be challenged. Yes, we will be stretched. But we will never be destroyed. So the beautiful thing about this is the unity that Christ and the Father shares, and that we and the Father shares, a deep and intimate relationship. The treasure is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and the power of God that is revealed in us. If there's anything that you can take away from this evening, it's remembering who you are. Whose you are, rather, because we know that we are jars of clay, but we need to remember whose we are. But then we also need to remember what we have been created for, what purpose. We may be clay jars, but we have this treasure that we are asked to share with the world and not to keep hidden. There is an abstract out of the sermon series that I would like to share. And it reads, "This is the great truth of who we are, that our story does not start with us. It starts with God. And we entered into a world in which the essential parts of our existence are already ancient history. That is our central truth, that at the center of our existence and birth is God, whose story about us started thousands of years before we were born. We enter into God's story with our own story, the story of our lives and our upbringing, our relationships, our challenges, our successes and our failures, our road in experiences of God and faith. And we share our story with God and weave it into His story of salvation. That is one of the great movements of worship, starting by becoming aware and focused on God's story, and then bringing ourselves to our story. And that together becomes the great story." So tonight we started with the great I am, and who we are because of who He is. And we need to journey towards a deeper and more intimate relationship with God in order for us to walk into the fullness in this world, in order for us to never forget why we were created. So today, and hopefully every day hereafter, we withdraw from ourselves and hand over to the great I am. I close with, we are, because he is the great I am, and we are the work of his hands. And because of that, we carry a piece of him in us, not to be hidden, but to be shared with the world. We are humble vessels so that this beauty will shine through us. Thank you. May you stand with us. Can we share the benediction on the side screens? I say the yellow and you say the white. Praise God who loves us.
Praise God who cares. May God who gave birth to all creation bless us. May God who became incarnate by an earthly mother bless us. May God who broods as a mother over her children bless us. May Almighty God bless us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.